When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo Stove Fixed Fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. You can be on the free Odyssey app. You can tune in on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. You can be locked in on SiriusXM, channel 158. Or you could be tuning in right now on a smart speaker. All you got to do is ask that speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to be rolling with you for the next 3 hours. I get started 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. Thank you to Chris Vanini from The Athletic for coming through to join us to discuss the college football playoff. We've had a lot of action tonight. Some good, unfortunately, some bad. Good news for the Indiana Pacers. They eliminate the Boston Celtics. The final score, 122 to 112. The Indiana Pacers advance to Vegas here in the NBA in-season tournament. Tyrese Halliburton ends the night with a triple-double. We'll talk about that, and here's some of the big plays, including a four-point play before the night is up. We'll get to that. Also, unfortunate news down in Jacksonville. Not only are the Jacksonville Jaguars currently tied up as the Bengals attempt a field goal, 28 and the Bengals just knock it in. The Bengals take a lead, 31-28. The Cincinnati Bengals lead the Jacksonville Jaguars. Minutes ago on the Jaguars' last possession, Trevor Lawrence got the inside of his ankle stepped on by his own offensive lineman. He twisted and fell to the ground, and then as he tried to get up, couldn't. He had to take a knee. He threw his helmet down. He had some attendants and the medical staff come over to get him. And why Trevor Lawrence didn't get a cart, I have no idea, because he sure as hell took a long-ass walk back to the locker room. And we don't know the extent of the injury. I'm sure that we'll have some type of update on Trevor Lawrence and his ankle before the night is over. I don't know, possibly a high ankle sprain, hopefully not a break. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a record of 8-3. They're trying to roll their way into the postseason. Even looking at this game, Jake Browning completing 26 of 30 passes, 315 yards. He has rushed for a touchdown. He's also thrown for one, a 76-yard bomb to Ja'Marr Chase. Not what anybody expected from the Bengals with no Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence going down. Yeah, that ain't good. That's probably the worst result, probably worse than a potential Jacksonville Jaguars loss. And Shep, who the hell is this guy? Who is the backup?
CJ Beathard.
Man, nobody want to see this guy. This man hasn't been seen since, I think, San Francisco. It's between him and Jimmy Garoppolo as to who was going to get injured and who was going to get hurt. So what's the deal with Lawrence? Yeah. Anything?
Well, JR, I mean, you mentioned it. Obviously, you know, his teammate, Walker Little, steps on the ankle. Trevor slams his helmet to the ground. He's, and to your point, surprised he's actually not carted off considering it is his home field. But with that being said, the latest we're actually hearing, JR, is he's questionable to return.
What, he drank some of that Aaron Rodgers juice? Is that what it is?
Hey, this is from Lisa Salter's mouth, and we don't. I know you don't doubt Lisa Salter's. I mean, that's her report.
Yeah, she's not a liar like that. What's that other woman's name?
Carissa Thompson or Aaron Andrews? Which one? They're
no,
both
the
liars.
Liar.
No, I know.
The liar.
They're both. But Carissa Thompson is the liar that was most notable the last couple of weeks.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Lisa Salter said that he can come back possibly. Then, yeah. Yeah, that looked terrible. So, yeah, we'll keep you up to date on that as it continues on. There's just so much. And then we'll get into Zach Wilson and the Jets, and we'll talk Chiefs and Eagles. They took some bad losses yesterday. The 49ers certainly in a good place. And then more college football playoff.
JR, I'm sorry to ask you this. Do you mind if I just a quick question, because I know there's so much to cover. C.J. Beathard is 2-10 in his career. Joe Flacco is 1-8 over the last 5 years. Is it just me, or the backups in the NFL getting worse and worse by the year?
I don't know if I'd say the backups are getting worse. I think that the quarterback play, and this is why Tom Brady pretty much said what he said a couple of weeks ago. Tom Brady said that the play in the league right now is mediocre. That's just what it is. I don't know if I'd expand any past that. Nobody ever wants to see the backup play. I think that I could be wrong. I don't have the stats and the numbers in front of me. But I think with the style of play, we got more quarterbacks going down more than ever. I think that's what that boils down to. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. And so as of right now, if the Jacksonville Jaguars want to win this game, they're going to count on C.J. Beathard to lead the way, as he is currently on the field here to start this series. And he proceeds to fumble the ball away, which luckily the Jacksonville Jaguars get their hands on. 855-212-4CBS. Jason is calling from Alabama. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, man. Yeah, I just want to chime in a little bit. And I apologize if I repeat something. I haven't been listening all night. But like y'all were just talking about the comical backup quarterback play. Well, that's what you see if you send Florida State to the playoff. So, and I understand. I feel for Florida State fans. I really do. I feel for their players. But if you want to see the four best teams, I mean, you're lying if you're saying Florida State's one of them right now. And it's not to say the whole season doesn't matter, but teams develop. Teams get better. Bama had quarterback issues at the beginning of the season. They worked through it. They went through three quarterbacks. So Texas got them at their worst. And the SEC, it carries weight for a reason. I know everybody hates to hear it, but it's the truth. They've earned it. And, I mean, Florida State, this is a fact. Everybody got Google on their phone. You can look it up. Florida State's been invited multiple times to join the SEC. They turned it down. And Bobby Vallon even said, and this is what he said, it's just too difficult to win a title going through the SEC. So you made your choice right there. And that's in the 90s. The SEC's only gotten better. ACC's gotten worse. He said that in the 90s. So,
all right.
You think
well, Florida State, I don't disagree with anything you said, Jason. Thank you. Okay. I guess, Jason, I don't know if he thought he was making a point that I didn't make or feel, but I don't disagree with anything that he just said. I don't think Florida State belongs. It's quite simple, and we heard this from Chris Vanini. I mean, what the hell is the idea of having a college football playoff if you're not going to go out there and have the top four teams? And it's pretty clear when you have to deal with the injuries that Florida State has had to deal with, whether it's Jordan Travis and Rodemaker, like what's the point of having them in to get smashed? I mean, they barely went out there and beat Florida. They barely went out there and beat Louisville. And why the hell would I think it'd be any different against one of the top teams just to give them the chance? Look, it's not just Florida State competing against themselves, it's them competing against the other four, and the other four teams actually have they're looking better, they're looking more complete than Florida State. So yeah, it sucks, and I've said this, life ain't fair, and Florida State is out. So tough. It's not fair that they haven't won. The toughest part is that they don't have a quarterback. And so what, so they should just be thrown or given a bone. They should be rewarded for being undefeated. There are other teams that look stronger. It's really that simple. And how about the chair here of the college football playoff, Boo Corrigan? He talked about this on ESPN. He made it very clear why Florida State was not in, and this is what he had to say about the teams that made it. Listen.
I think in looking at it, and again, that was the decision, was Alabama at 4. Florida State is a different team than they were through the first 11 weeks. Coach Norvell, their players, their fans, you know, an incredible season. But as you look at who they are as a team right now, without Jordan Travis, without the offensive dynamic that he brings to it, they are a different team. And the committee voted Alabama 4 and Florida State 5.
Yeah, as simple as that. Well, of course, everybody was upset. Florida was upset. Georgia was upset. Here, let's listen to head coach of the Seminoles. This is Mike Norvell. He was on ESPN yesterday, and he talked about the disappointment, the sadness, the pain about being left out of the college football playoff.
You know, I was just hurt for our players. I mean, to be honest with you, that was it was one of the tougher moments I've had to experience. And, you know, just for all that they've done, you know, you talk to a team about, you know, responding to adversity, getting up and going to give all that you can to be able to find a way to win a college football game. And, it, you know, like Coach Mart said, it is hard. I mean, it's hard to do. It's hard to especially when you face some of the adversities that we've had you hear this year, whether it's injury or just different things to overcome. But, it's all part of it. And, as we tell our team all the time, you know, your truest identity shows up in times of great adversity. And we faced it, and, you know, they put it on display. So that was really that feeling in the moment.
Yeah, you heard Mike Norvell refer to Coach Smart, obviously referring to Kirby Smart. And why was he referring to Kirby Smart? Because they're going to play each other in the Orange Bowl. Yeah, these are the two runner-up teams that won't be participating in the top four of the college football playoff. And Kirby Smart, he was right there with Mike Norvell being joined by Zoom on ESPN. And Kirby Smart pretty much said, of course, yeah, we are disappointed, just like everybody else, that we didn't make the college football playoff. But we're thankful that we do got a game and that it's against Florida State.
I mean, I empathize with anybody that goes undefeated and doesn't get in. I empathize with our players because I personally feel like we deserve to be in. So, I mean, we've got a really good football team and we're considered number one in the country all year and then fail. So we got a hornet's nest around here too of some players that are disappointed too. So that works both ways. The good news is we got each other to go play. And I know they'll be up for us and we'll be up for them.
It sounds like a miserable excuse, but what else is he supposed to do, right? He got to try to make his players feel happy about something. Not everybody's going to play. Guys are going to be like, I ain't playing. I'm going to the NFL. Why am I playing in this stupid Orange Bowl? This is I don't even want to call it a proper consolation prize. This is almost a why the hell do we care type thing. Georgia out. Florida State out. I'm not opposed to Alabama making it. 11 straight victories. The only loss against Texas. Jalen Milroe has gotten hot. The entire team has gotten hot. And Nick Saban, he spoke to ESPN too. And most times Nick Saban sounds like a miserable you-know-what. This time Nick Saban, he was thrilled. Listen to him sound enthusiastic and effusive.
It was a tough night. I didn't sleep a lot. Because there's a lot of good teams out there. Florida State's certainly a good team, and to go undefeated in their league. And it's unfortunate that some good team had to get left out, but I really think that our team earned the right to be here. He beat number one Georgia in the SEC championship game. They've worked hard all year to improve, and I'm really proud of what they've been able to accomplish together as a team.
Nick Saban, I mean, and this is what all the coaches do. Following the conference champion games, conference championship games. All of these coaches are politicking hard, stating their case for the college football playoff on Saturday. And, well, we know Alabama made it in, And as you just heard, Georgia, two-time national champs, coming off of a 29-game winning streak. Florida State, undefeated this season. They don't get in. Texas goes, and so does Alabama. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Gary, he's calling from New Hampshire. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, yeah, I heard you on the other station over the weekend. You sounded great. My question to you is, because it was coming in staticky from New York to Boston, what's the thing? They want to name Deion Sanders in the top 10 list of Sportsman of the Year?
No, so I'm going to answer that, Gary, and thank you for calling from New Hampshire. As C.J. Beathard, how about this, takes the Jacksonville Jaguars on a drive to tie the game up. Jacksonville Jaguars just kick a field goal. The game is tied at 31 all, 26 seconds left in the game as the Jags have tied this up. McManus kicking a field goal to tie the game up at 31. Let's see if we get into overtime. And also, by the way, let's see if we do make it to overtime, whether or not Trevor Lawrence is going to be back behind center if we do move forward. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. And thank you so much for listening from New Hampshire. Shep, did you have any idea WFAN signal went up to New Hampshire? Did you know that?
I actually did not know that. There's a lot of people that tweeted me over the weekend and say, man, your guy JR is amazing on WFAN. Sean Marash, a couple of times, and you know he's definitely made bones for himself at WFAN these past couple of months. He compliments you all the time whenever he sees me, man. So I'm glad WFAN gets to hear your magic every single Saturday. I don't know if it does go to New Hampshire. I just know that people who live in New Hampshire happen to love you and will stream you on the Odyssey app where can get WFAN.
Do you think that man utilized a streaming device to listen to
me? I do. I like Gary from New Hampshire. He's an avid caller. He's been a fan of yours for a long time.
He said it was staticky.
Yeah, I don't know if WFAN goes to New Hampshire, though.
I don't think it would, but I mean, right. Maybe he got it. Listen, man, he got a special radio. He got one of the first radios ever.
Well, and we love Gary, but I also thought, at this point, he would have been aware that Deion Sanders was named Sports Illustrated Person of the Year. That was like 7 days ago.
Yeah. So now, I'm still trying to understand how the hell he listened in New Hampshire to the New York station.
I'm kind of disappointed for Deion Sanders. He broke up with his beautiful fiance, man. That was disappointing.
Tracy Edmonds?
Yeah, beautiful woman. Accomplished. Smart. I'm surprised they broke up.
Well.
Sad.
Yeah, well, we don't know the circumstances right now.
Is it ever really a mutual decision, JR? To break up, like that's what they want us to believe. I don't buy that for
you
a second.
Know. You've never broken up with somebody?
I mean, of course you break up with someone, but it's never mutual. There's always.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What's so difficult to believe?
Well, there's always someone that wants to hang on a little bit. There's no such thing as a mutual breakup. It sounds nice, and it makes for good copy. And it makes for less drama so no one gets asked and bombarded about it. But there's no such thing as a mutual parting of ways. Just like in sports.
We don't know who wanted to break up.
Well, I understand. I get why they would do it. I just don't buy it. And I think, yeah, that's all.
I mean, but he's busy. She's busy. I mean, sometimes I think that makes it a little bit easier when you never see each other.
I know he's prime time, but I would never be too busy for Tracy Edmonds. Just saying.
Well, how much they paying him?
Not enough. He was the face of college football this year.
Oh, well, I mean, college football would have to pay him and not Colorado.
Right, right.
Speaking of Deion, yes, I don't know how, what was his name, Shep, the gentleman from New Hampshire?
Our friend Gary from New Hampshire.
Hey, Gary, man, look, first of all, congratulations to you. Thank you. Yes, you can listen to me Saturdays in New York on WFAN. That's the first thing. Second, yes, Deion Sanders, he wasn't in the top 10 for Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. Deion Sanders was named Sports Illustrated Person of the Year. He got that despite Buffalo going 4-8. And one of the reasons, and we talked about this right here on CBS Sports Radio last week, is that Sports Illustrated finds Deion to be a kind of a conduit to the growth of Colorado. Not necessarily just on a football field, but for enrollment, for interest, for the community. And that's why they gave him Sports Person of the Year. We also talked about the fact that, quite frankly, who cares about Sports Illustrated, right? The biggest thing, the biggest brand for Sports Illustrated happens to be the swimsuit issue. And I don't even know if people care about that the way that they used to. By the way, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, they're tied at 31 all. They are going into overtime. Who would have thought this? C.J. Beathard, Jake Browning, two star quarterbacks in the NFL going at it as they try to lead their teams to victory. It's the battle of the backups. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of Deion Sanders, he weighed in on Florida State not making the college football playoff. We're going to hear from Deion on the other side of the break. We'll talk about some NBA in-season tournament action. We'll give you an update on Monday Night Football as it continues on. Because, of course, it's the backups. You got to love them. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I do think you're one of the best people in radio right now, hands down. I've heard everybody. You got the gift, and I appreciate, you know, your intelligence and your honesty.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars, they are currently in overtime. The game is tied at 31 all. About 6.5 minutes left here in this game. C.J. Beathard in for an injured or hurt Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence goes down in the fourth quarter. His own offensive lineman steps on the inside of his ankle. Trevor Lawrence goes down in a heap and is walked and ushered to the locker room. Lisa Salter said that he was questionable. At this rate, we ain't going to see him for the rest of the game. This is now the C.J. Beathard show. Meanwhile, we know for the Cincinnati Bengals, we ain't going to see Joe Burrow for the rest of the season. And that, quite frankly, Jake Browning has had a damn good game here as well. The Jacksonville Jaguars may be pulling up on a game-winning touchdown. We'll keep you up to date as this game continues on. 855-212-4CBS.
Thanks for called holding.
Yeah, just called holding, I see. Yep, that long bomb going back. Anton Harrison called for holding on the offensive line as C.J. Beathard threw an absolute bomb out to Calvin Ridley, but it won't count. Let's see if they'll probably have to go out there and maybe settled for a field goal if they can get it. 855-212-4CBS. Right before we went to break, did talk to you, or we had a caller hit us up about Deion Sanders and Deion winning Sports Person of the Year for Sports Illustrated. Yes, we discussed that last week. We also know a few other things. That Colorado, their season is over. That Deion Sanders needs to go shopping for an offensive line. He needs to pull in some new recruits. But Deion, he spoke to Dan Lebatard, and Deion Sanders did have some words about his alma mater, Florida State. We know Deion is a Seminole, and he was asked about them going into the college football playoff, and I think Deion had more of a surprising answer than anyone would expect or think about. This is what Deion had to say about the Seminoles not making the top four.
Well, I can't be upset. We're recruiting against those guys. You got to understand that. This is business now. So I can't be mad. But when you got to look at it, a lot of people don't look at it as business. I look at it as this is entertainment, but this is business. So there's no way you're going to leave Coach Saban in Alabama out of a playoff. Who should be really upset? Not only Florida State, but Kirby Smart. He's been with number one for the last 2 years or 3 years, and they're out. What about them? I mean, this is unbelievable. I want those problems. Give me those problems.
Yeah, I want those problems. Give me those problems. Yeah, he wants to be in the college football playoff. Well, if you took a listen to our interview earlier on in the show, thank you again to Chris Vanini for joining us from The Athletic, joined us last hour. He says the next couple of months are going to be crucial for Deion Sanders as he tries to restock his roster, as he tries to restock the coaches' room with some of the coaches who have departed from Colorado. And, you know, we have no idea what the situation is going to be, you know, with his son. His son, unfortunately, fractured his back behind that crap offensive line. And so, yeah, there are going to be some changes in Colorado. And Deion admitted this himself. This has been this been tough for him. His first time really facing some adversity. He said this could be the toughest time of his life. He might be right about that. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Well, Ja'Marr Chase, did he come down with that? He sure as hell did. Next score wins. About 4.5 minutes left here in overtime. 31-31, Cincinnati and Jacksonville. They are all tied up. Let's go ahead and hit the phones and let's talk to Super Dave. He's calling from the D and the area. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Super Dave? How are you?
Hey, JR, man. Thanks for taking my call. What up, though?
How you doing? What's going on? You from Detroit?
Hey, look. I used to live in Detroit, man. I used to be in the United States Air Force, but I'm born and raised Washington, D.C., but I know a little bit about that. What up, though?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, okay, hit me with some Detroit from the DMV. What's up?
Yeah, I got much love. Shout out to everybody across the country, man. Midwest, East Coast, West Coast. Much love, and definitely down south. Really quick, man, I just want to touch bases. I'm a Washington Redskins, Washington Commanders diehard fan. You know the state of my team right now, bro. We're not looking too good. Matter of fact, you know how we roll because you come to the National Harbor, so you know how we do in this area about the Commanders.
I was just in D.C. last week, yes.
So you know how we roll. My question is to you, with the state of the franchise, have you seen enough from Sam Howell to say that's the guy moving forward? And I only ask you this because the way our season is going, I mean, right now the draft is tomorrow. We got the number 4 draft pick. So have you seen enough flashes from Sam Howell to where you want to build this all? Because he don't have no time. We know we need an offensive line. So do you go get offensive linemen, the left tackles from Notre Dame and things like that? Or do you move up and go get you a quarterback? Like, that's my question. Do you think Sam Howell is our guy?
Well, I think he has the potential to be a starter in the NFL. I don't know if he's going to get that full chance and opportunity here with Washington. This is the larger issue. I haven't focused in on what Washington needs to do in the draft. And I haven't focused in on that because realistically, I think that there's going to come a point in time, and it might be at the end of the season, where Josh Harris is going to clean house, man. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So Sam Howell, it's like moving into anybody's house. If I'm moving into a house and somehow the old owner left the couch, am I going to leave it there? Probably not. It may sit around there for a couple of days until I get the junk man to come and move it out. So I don't see a scenario. I wouldn't be optimistic about him sticking around, but it really depends on what takes place. Look, Ron Rivera is going to be gone. I think we know that. Is Marty Mayhew going to be out the door next? I'm not so sure. He possibly could be gone, but I do know this. Josh Harris is going to want to implement his own people, and I don't think that bodes well for Sam Howell in the long run. He might get a chance. He might get another opportunity, a la Justin Fields, moving from one Ryan to the other. But I think there are larger issues than Sam Howell right now.
I tend to agree. But also, man, I feel bad for EB, man, because EB came into a situation like this, because if they get rid of Ron Rivera, EB gone too, and that's going to hinder the development of Sam Howell. That's been a problem with Washington. We get offensive coordinators. They work with a quarterback for about a year or two. Next thing you know, they're fired, and then this quarterback is learning a whole new system. For me personally, before I go, I think Sam Howell is good. I don't know if you're going to win because of Sam Howell, But I think if you build around him, you can win with Sam Howell. So instead of going to get, you know, a Caleb Williams, a Drake May, I like what Sam Howell have done this year. He showed flashes. So I think personally, if we build around him, we will be okay. Hey, JR, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you, bro. I listen to your show all the time. But this is my first time actually talking to you, dog. So listen, keep doing what you do, man. Much love from the DMV. Thanks for taking my call, bro. Peace.
Thank you, Super Dave, for calling from the DMV. I appreciate the nice words right now as McPherson is trying to line up on a field goal to ultimately maybe possibly win this game. And thank you, Dave, for bringing up, you know, young quarterbacks, because the NFL got a lot of them. And this is what happens when the league moves on into a different space where it's no longer about development of a quarterback. We don't have veteran quarterbacks who are, you know, coming off of the bench after or starting, getting that chance after, you know, three seasons. Guys are getting drafted and they're getting that opportunity right away. And so, yeah, I have no idea what in the hell the future is going to hold for Sam Howell. I mean, we just saw, we talked about this, Trevor Lawrence going down after his own offensive lineman steps on the inside of his ankle. It's just injuries all over the place. Joe Burrow, this man is getting paid $50-plus million a year. He's sitting on the sidelines with his hand in a sling, his arm in a sling. We got Kirk Cousins who went down. I know he's on the older end of the spectrum. And how about this? Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett went down yesterday. Kenny Pickett has a high ankle sprain. He needs surgery. I believe he already had his surgery that took place. And the Steelers, after losing to the Arizona Cardinals, they now have a record of 7-5. And now the world has to look at Mitch Trubisky. It's not what anybody wants. And a matter of fact, Mike Tomlin, he took some time today to give us an update on the injury of Kenny Pickett. And this is what Mike Tomlin had to say.
Kenny has a high ankle sprain. He had it surgically repaired this morning in an effort to accelerate the healing process. Don't have a lot of information on the status of that yet. Just rest assured that he is out this week.
Out this week? High ankle sprains, them suckers take, anywhere from a month and a month and a half to potentially heal. We ain't got that much time left in the season on the calendar. We got about a month left in the year, and the Steelers have five games left on their slate. Their final game of the season, the Steelers will be in Baltimore taking on their rival. They will be taking on those Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, January 7th. And, I mean, if you've watched the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, if you watch them struggle to score, and it doesn't matter if Matt Canada is the OC or not, Steelers are going nowhere. Kenny Pickett is not the QB of the future. It doesn't matter what Mike Tomlin tries to sell you or share to or with you. They ain't doing a damn thing. And the Steelers are going to go through this season. Maybe they finish, you know, just north of 500 again. They have New England next. They have Indianapolis. They have Cincinnati, Seattle. Then they finish against Baltimore. Maybe Mike Tomlin finishes with another positive record, but we know the Steelers ain't no threat. They're going to be thinking about a quarterback. That's just the reality. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. So much going on. These referees take forever. Marco Belletti, what are these referees doing? Scratching their asses?
Pretty much. I want to know what the guy's job, though, is basically just to hold up the little TV for the referee to stare at for 20 minutes? Because he looks like he's just like, can I get out of here? Can I leave now? Have you seen enough? Can I walk away?
That's a better job than that. You saw the chain guy break his leg yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Man, that dude.
That's not good.
That was horrific.
Yeah. I can't even joke about it. But you've been on the sidelines. It comes a lot faster than you realize until they're kind of like on top of you if you're a little too close. But damn.
That man, his scream.
Yeah.
I'm going to hear that. Shep, did you hear that guy screaming yesterday?
No.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Alvin Kamara, he rolled into some old guy's leg. You know, the guys that stand there and don't do nothing with the sticks and stuff?
Oh, no. He was like a Joe Paterno on the sideline?
Anyway, Alvin Kamara, he rolled into the sideline, and his leg whipped, and he kind of rolled into this guy's leg, and he broke this man's leg. This dude was on the ground howling, screaming in agony. The cameras caught the shot of his broken leg as Alvin Kamara got up. And then even when they turned away, you still got the sound from this dude screaming. And I know we're so used to seeing NFL players go down, break this, break that, and it never looks good. But a lot of times they mute out the sound and the audio. But to see or hear what you would say is a civilian with a broken leg howling in pain, it was a sad scene to watch. And I know the NFL released a statement that he had some surgery. Yes, he had a broken leg, and I think he had a dislocated kneecap. It's just totally different when you see just a layman out there getting hurt just like he was one of the players. Anyway, yeah, everybody's getting hurt, even the dudes standing around on the sideline. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, listen, I appreciate that so much because I'm glad you have the opinion you have because I have one very similar.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
Yeah, it's nice when we can all get along, right? Yeah, I hope you don't agree with me or share my opinion all the time. I mean, we're all different, right? Yeah, individuality. Anyway, damn it, this battle of the backups, this game is done. Jacksonville. The Jaguars lose at home to the Cincinnati Bengals. The final score, 34-31. This game took us on a hell of a ride because Trevor Lawrence goes down in the fourth quarter. His own offensive lineman steps on the inside of his ankle. He has to go into the back. He does not return. Jake Browning had a hell of a game. Starting for the Cincinnati Bengals, starting in place of a Joe Burrow who sat on the sidelines with his hand in a cast and his arm in a sling. And Cincinnati wins in overtime via field goal. Evan McPherson knocks in a 48-yarder. And Cincinnati wins 34-31. The Cincinnati Bengals now have a record of 6-6. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, their record, they fall to 8-4. And even before Trevor Lawrence went down, this game was a little too close. You know, Jacksonville, they weren't out of the woods, but you would think that they would have taken care of a team without Joe Burrow. And you have to give a lot of credit to Jake Browning. Tonight, ridiculous. He completed 32 of 37 passes. He threw for 354 yards. He threw a 76-yard touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase, and then he also punched one in from the goal line. He punched one in. He did it. Jake Browning had a rushing touchdown as well, and not what you would have expected. You think about this game, I'm like, here we go. We got Jacksonville, and we have Cincinnati. There is high potential for this game to be complete ass on Monday Night Football. And it was anything but that. It was actually one of the best Monday Night Football games that we have had this season. Unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence wasn't around to see it at the end, but Jake Browning is certainly going to garner some attention here across the NFL. And yes, there are more games here to close out the season, but when you have a disaster like the New York Jets, who can't find a quarterback to save their lives, the Cincinnati Bengals pull out Jake Browning off the practice squad from a few weeks ago, and he helps the Cincinnati Bengals have one of the best wins that we have seen so far this season. Everybody in Jacksonville outside of the loss tonight, they are going to be paying close attention to what the hell is going on with the status of Trevor Lawrence. That leg, that inside of his ankle got stepped on by his own offensive lineman. Trevor Lawrence went down onto the field. He could not get up. He tried to get up, couldn't stand up, couldn't put weight on that right ankle. He took a knee. He threw his helmet, and then he was attended to by the team's training staff as they walked him straight to the back. It initially looked like he might have broken that ankle, but we're going to find out sooner than later what's going on. Trevor Lawrence has suffered an ankle sprain, and he will undergo an MRI on Tuesday, where we will find out the extent. And he just now joins a long list of NFL quarterbacks who have gone down so far this season. Joe Burrow, wrist. Kirk Cousins, Achilles. Daniel Jones, that ACL. Kenny Pickett had ankle surgery this morning after his high ankle sprain against the Cardinals. Anthony Richardson, done with that shoulder. Aaron Rodgers, who knows what his status is, he blew out his Achilles to start the season. Deshaun Watson, done with a broken shoulder. You can't make this up. Add Trevor Lawrence to the list now of injured QBs. Is it something in the water? Are all the NFL QBs this unlucky? Or are the offensive lines this damn bad? It's pretty pathetic. Hopefully Trevor Lawrence can see things the rest of the way here as the starter for the Jags. Nobody wants to see C.J. Beathard throw a football besides his own family. Nobody wants to see this. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The final score down in Jacksonville, the Bengals 34, Jacksonville 31. We're going to get into more of the game when we come back on the other side. We're going to talk about some NBA in-season tournament action. We already have one winner with the Pacers, the Pelicans, and Kings. They're battling for another spot. We'll keep you up to date. We'll talk about it here on CBS Sports Radio.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Cat lovers, listen up. Meet Felix, the pet insurance brand made just for cats. Our cats don't really have nine lives, but a lot can happen in the one they do. Felix's whisker-to-tail protection covers accidents, illness, emergency care, exam fees, and so much more. Visit felixcatinsurance.com to learn more about their customizable coverage for felines. Sorry, no dogs allowed. That's felixcatinsurance.com. Get it, meow.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Is managing accounts payable taking up too much of your time? With AvidXchange, your AP is automated so you can easily review and approve invoices anytime, anywhere, giving you more control and visibility into your workflow. Experience the power of change. AvidXchange. Learn more at avidxchange.com.